Tonight, the armed forces, which are in a somewhat parlous plight. In a defence exercise this morning, the four-minute warning was 56 minutes late, owing to British summertime. In the past year, the British Army has been reduced by 20,000. The United States Army has been increased by 100,000, and the Greek Army has raised its uniform 3 inches above the knee. We're having to cut down our commitments in two main areas, east of Suez and west of Suez. Britain has, however, decided to quit the rocket race. Instead, we're selling our latest model to Japan, and in 3 months' time, we're going to be able to buy as many copies as we want at only a quarter of the price. So what is a primitive atom bomb? I mean, do you detonate it with a club? Or does it run off calla gas? The odd thing is that bombs or no bombs, war somehow just doesn't seem so threatening now as it did, well, not very long ago.
What is the code name for tonight's operation?
It's Paper Tiger.
Good, good. Now you ask me one.
Or as one advertisement says, it's a man's life in the woman's Royal Army Corps. There's no doubt. Put a man into a uniform, and whether he's a regimental sergeant major or what, he can be pretty forbidding.
I see. How long has this been going on?
Military people just seem to have a different attitude to people. This was the Daily Express. It will probably be 4 or 5 years before either the Russians or the Americans have accumulated a sufficient stock of missiles with a range of 5,000 miles. To start a war with anything less than this would be folly. Many a man is still willing to shed his last drop of blood for his country. It's the first drop that he's cautious about. Fortunately, in a crisis, there's usually someone at hand to say the encouraging word when it's needed.
Please, Padre, I can't.
Of course you can, Foster, if you really try, someone's got to get that message through to HQ.
Don't let me go, Padre.
It'll be all right when you get out there, Foster. Don't worry, you'll find strength and courage that you never knew you possessed.
I can't.
Look, Foster.
It's you or me. Now, get out there.
There's also a great emphasis in the forces on hygiene. Two soldiers were standing looking at one of those posters you may remember which said, "Is an hour of pleasure worth a lifetime of regret?" And one of the soldiers turned to the other and said, "How does he manage to make it last an hour?" Traditionally, the one place that the forces don't care about hygiene in every traditional story about them is in the kitchen. One of the team who was in the services thought he was getting a slice of brown bread, but it turned out it was just white bread that hadn't been dusted. And his cheese was so strong it kept eating his bread. He was last seen in the larder wrestling with half a dozen mice. Of course, children get a lot of their knowledge about war from these American films that show how America won everything from the Battle of Britain to the War of Jenkins' Ear. A new television series, indeed, is being planned to succeed the Rat Patrol, showing how America won both sides of the Franco-Prussian War. Now, the really mysterious military story of the week was the one that announced that the North Vietnamese are training kamikaze pilots for service in Vietnam. Now, how do you train a suicide pilot? Do you tell him that taking out flight insurance is just not playing the game? Or do you give him the company motto, "The only good kamikaze is a dead kamikaze"? Do they announce, "We suffered terrible losses today, 10 of the men survived"? Not, of course, that any military unit keeps the same equipment indefinitely. Here at home, there is continual re-equipment by the services.
Air Chief Marshal, Air Marshals, officers of the Royal Air Force, gentlemen of the press. I've called you here today to explain to you what may seem at first glance a rather controversial decision. I refer, of course, to the decision to strengthen the initial strike force of Fighter Command with the purchase of 43 electric toasters. Now, the first and most obvious question is, why did we not purchase aircraft instead? Well, let me give you some figures, supplied to me by the Ministry of Figures. Now, one new S-123B fighter costs £894,000, whereas a new toaster costs at most £8.36. That's with a 12-month guarantee. Now, I'm not saying that the S-123B is not a jolly fine aircraft, and I regret none of the £32 million we've already spent on it. But I think we'd be the first to admit that there have been snags. The vertical takeoff, the long-range radar apparatus, the electrical navigation system, and so on. None of which seem to have cropped up with this latest model of the Gremlin EasyDone. It's a damn good little toaster. Ah, but I hear the pessimists say, can it carry a nuclear weapon? Well, the answer, of course, is no. Of course it can't carry a nuclear weapon. No one in their right minds could expect a toaster to be able to carry a nuclear weapon. Not even the Arco Toast Grill-O-Matic is capable of carrying a nuclear weapon. But what it can do is toast. Brown, crispy toast. Unfortunately, we don't yet know the effect that a large-scale toast attack would have on the enemy. But let me tell you this. Toast without butter or marmalade can be pretty unpleasant. Now, this isn't going to mean the end of the RAF as we know it. We're still going to need men. Well, certainly a man. Skillful and experienced enough to operate the new toasters. Then, of course, we shall need some plates. Now, one final point. We can't pretend that toasters are going to solve all our problems. We're still going to need supersonic fighters capable of intercontinental defensive strike action with nuclear payloads for Farnborough Airshow. Ah, tea's ready. Excuse me.
Mr. Ronnie Barker, who was decorated by Field Marshal Montgomery on Christmas Eve, 1944. They couldn't get a tree. Military men have to be pretty insensitive to what other people think of them. One admiral revealed that he had a rather tasteless tattoo on his chest, but when it was cleaned, a Goya was found underneath. Another sailor has the whole of the British Navy on his elbow, and one man in the RAF has a picture of part of a flypast on his back, ending with the words, "to be continued on aircraftsman Pollock." Though nothing quite as revolutionary as that quote from the Sunday Dispatch in October 1943, which said, quote, "women's clothing will be held up until the needs of all seagoing personnel have been met." Would do wonders for recruiting today. You wouldn't get that sort of thing in the army, though. People like the guards know that they've got a centuries-old tradition of dignity and that they must maintain it. Mr. John Cleese, possessor of an amazing war record, I'm going to hang out the washing on the Siegfried line sung by Maria Callas and the Big Ben Banjo Band. Not that all soldiers are politically naive. In most foreign countries, indeed, they take over the government about annually. In Vietnam, the people are being introduced by the military to the idea of democracy and free elections gradually, starting with the Eurovision Song Contest. Perhaps it's this sense of mission that makes people so anxious to join up, or perhaps it's just the chance of becoming an officer.
Well, sit down, Perkins, sit down. So, you're interested in becoming an officer, are you?
Well, I thought for a wee while now I should come beneath you and enlist you.
What a funny way to talk.
They really talk like that, do you?
It's the only way I can talk, son.
Anyway, I couldn't understand at all when you said you only have your 4 days on the leave to become an officer.
Sorry, son, I couldn't make out what you said there.
So you want to be an officer. Dolly, dolly, good. Now, first things first, where did you go to school?
I had a private tutor, sir.
Oh, where did your father go to school?
Eton.
Eton
and Harrow. Eton and Harrow College.
Well done, Perkins. You had an Eton daddy, did you? That's jolly, jolly good. No trouble there. Now, what games did you play at Eton?
I wasn't there, sir. My father was.
Oh, well, what games did your father play at Eton?
The Eton Wall game.
Mm-hmm.
Conkers. Cricket and football, and he played Widow Twankey in the pantomime.
Yeah, must have been jolly good.
Yes.
Now, why does your father want to become an officer?
He doesn't, he's dead.
Yeah, but if he's dead, he can't become an officer, even if he has been to Eton. I mean, we've got to draw the line somewhere, you know? He would just talk about it all.
Yes, of course he would, sir. Yes, of course he would.
Well, now, let's go on then. You see, the great thing about this is that you don't suffer from the same handicap that your father does.
No.
Vis-a-vis death.
No.
All right, then. Continuing, school games religion.
Agnostic.
Right. C of E. And leadership. We've got a test question here to see if you're a natural leader of men, Perkins. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Standing ready? Right. Test question on leadership coming up. Perkins, are you a natural leader of men?
Yes, sir.
Jolly good. Full marks. Absolutely sailed through that one. Now, other qualities for officers. Courage, initiative, strength of character, tenacity, ability to think quickly, guts. This can't be for officers. It must be for sergeants. Oh, no, you only need one of them. Yes. Which one?
Ability to think quickly.
Right. Now, test question on ability to think quickly coming up. Right. You're behind enemy lines, in a trench, after dark, pitch black, and what would you do if the bogeyman came to get you?
The bogeyman?
Yes.
I'd tell him to go away.
Jolly good. Well, let's got rid of him. Bye-bye, baby man. Now, the special question for Officer Material. Perkins, how would you say it's a broad, bright, moonlight night tonight?
It's a broad, bright, moonlight next to next.
Bad luck, Perkins. Well, bad news, I'm afraid, Perkins. The big handicap, vis-a-vis your becoming an officer, is, in fact, that you are common. And that is what I can do about that, so I'm afraid I can't make you an officer. But here's a sweet.
Next week, we'd like your peeves on a postcard, please, about advertising, advertisers, and commercials. This week, your peeves on the armed forces, Mr. C.R.W. Miles of Brighton had a sergeant who told him to water the garden. When he informed him that it was in fact raining at the time, the sergeant said, "All right then, put your Mac on." Understandably, several people were rather choked about the fact that after 30 years of army service, they have to pay a third of their pension back to the government in income tax, as it's classed as unearned income. John Colby says he had a guards officer so stupid that even his fellow officers noticed it. And Dr. Leake, a lieutenant colonel retired, says his wife's pet peeve is the naval officers' wives who pull their husband's rank in order to jump the queue in the ladies. Jay Young of Timperley, Cheshire, can't stand the army brand of official language ever since he had to try to explain to a polite but puzzled Malay soldier, beds will be made up as laid down in standing orders. And Mr. A. Baxter from New Malden writes, there's a place for you in the RAF, mine. Next week, advertising, please. Now, soldiers, war, and Miss Julie Felix.
When the 100 men went off to war, 100 men. Some were eager and some were scared, but nobody knew and nobody cared. When 100 men went off to war, 100 men. Then 1,000 men went off. Some were eager and some were scared, but nobody knew and nobody cared. When 1,000 men went to war, then 1,000,000 men went off to war. 1,000,000 men. Now a few folks said that it wasn't right, and a few said prayers and events of life. Oh, the heart so heavy, the head so high, kissed the ones they loved goodbye. Some were eager and some were scared. When 1,000,000 men went off to war, 1,000,000 men. Then all mankind went off to war, yes, all mankind. Well, the people fought and the people cried, the people prayed and the people died. We're like a flood through every street, and mixed through the mud of 1,000,000 feet. Well, all now say that it wasn't right, and prayed as one to the starry night. Hearts were heavy as they watched the sky, kissed the ones they loved goodbye. None were eager and all were scared, now they knew that they should have cared. When 100 men went off to war, when 100 men went to war.
The pen is mightier than the sword, as well as being much easier to write with. One RAF missiles expert got a shock in the post this week and complained to his commanding officer, but I've been posted abroad, who simply replied, oh goody, do you think they could post me one too? But still one comes back with the basic problem. Why on earth do we spend £2,000,000,000 a year on defence to protect the country when anyone who wants to eliminate us can do it whenever he likes with germs, poisons, or 101 other methods? The point is the armed forces know that, so instead of tailoring their resources to meet the dangers, they now do the opposite, and they tailor the dangers they tell us about to whatever resources they've got. They've got bombers with a 2,000-mile range. All right, then, they say. The danger to Britain is an attack by hostile countries within 2,000 miles of our bomber bases. It's just this curious difference of attitude. One well-known general was looking at a new hospital. Just think, he said, for the cost of only 10 of these, we could have had a Polaris missile. But things are not as bad as they sound. Indeed, the RAF now has a plane that can get halfway to Russia before it becomes obsolete. Though, of course, while weapons may change, the armed forces planning remains the same concise, taut instrument it was in 1944.
Well, I'm sorry to get you indoors on such a lovely day, gentlemen, but this is a matter of national importance. The French invasion is on.
Jolly good.
Jolly good.
Now, the PM has asked me of CNC, SAZ and ATO acting to organize the whole shooting match, as I have wide experience of fighting in France and as it's my birthday. Now, D-Day is Sunday.
Sunday?
Yes.
Oh, I've got some people coming over on Sunday.
Can't you put them off?
Well, I've put them off twice already.
How are you fixed on Friday?
Oh, Friday's all right.
I'm free Friday afternoon.
Look, Mule Pleasure, this is going to be the greatest invasion the world has ever seen. I do think we'll have to set a whole day aside for it.
Okay, right.
All right, then. So, what about Friday?
What about Thursday?
That's a better idea.
Thursday.
So D-Day, therefore, if we take it on Thursday, becomes D-Day minus three.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Oh, look, I've written Friday down now.
All right, then, let's stick to Friday.
All right, Friday.
Right. Yeah. Now, on Friday, the entire Army, Navy, and Air Force will assemble at Dover. Right. Time? 11:30 for 12 o'clock. Green keys before we start.
Yes.
Battle, formal invasion.
Supposing it's raining.
What?
Well, I'm not sending my ships out in the wet.
Well, let's make D-Day the first fine day after D-Day minus three. Now, we'll call that F-Day for fine days.
F-Day, yeah.
So F-Day equals D-Day minus three plus X, where X equals the number of rainy days.
Supposing it rains on F-Day.
Ah, but F-Day is the fine day.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, here's the plan.
I thought that was the plan.
Over here
yeah.
is England.
Yeah.
Over here
yeah.
is France.
Yeah.
Now, that about covers everything. Any questions?
No, this is obviously going to be a job for the Navy, so I should put my fleet there.
That's the Black Forest, Admiral. You'll have to stick to the blue bits.
I'm going to stick to the blue bits. All right, I'll do it. My ship.
Look, would it be any help if the RAF dropped some parachutists sort of roundabout Germany-ish?
Sort of combined RAF military action, eh?
Yeah.
Right, wait a minute, what about the Navy?
Well, they can patrol the coast.
No, that's not good enough, no. The Navy's a senior service. We're entitled to lose the largest number of men. I suggest we attack Wales. Marvellous coastline for a battle, blast them all to bits.
Not attack Wales, there are only Germans there.
To hell with the bloody Germans. Let's keep sentiment out of this, Mule Pleasure. This is supposed to be a combined military operation. An attack on Wales would work.
Yes, but they are within bombing range, aren't they?
Yes. And the Germans wouldn't expect us to strike there.
Oh. How about the Welsh?
Neither would they. No, it's very interesting. You see, we wouldn't have to warn them because they're on our side.
No, that's absolutely right. In any case, if we attack Wales, the Germans will be forced to move in to defend it.
Mm. The RAF can lay artificial snow all over Wales.
So that when the Germans arrive, they'll think that they've landed much further north than they'd planned.
And they'll march south.
Into the sea.
Then the Navy... the Navy can come in and run the blighters over.
Well, gentlemen, what do you think?
Well, it's an old trick, but it might just work.
And that's the armed forces, really. Times have changed, needs have decreased, but the costs go on increasing. Still, there is one solution that could solve our problems of defence costs and currency in one fell swoop that was suggested to the government today. Bring the soldiers back from Europe and arm the tourists. Good night.